Well, good morning. It is a pleasure to get to be up here today and to give Pastor Ryan a break and to help us to look at God's Word and to study Him. I know we have some guests today, likely, and I have a couple updates since last time I have preached as well. So, first of all, since I was last here preaching, I have a new wheelchair. So this is my first time preaching with this chair. So it'll be a learning curve for me and you. So I'm used to moving around while I speak. So as long as I don't move too far that way, we'll be good. Also a reminder that I do have muscle spasms, that sometimes my arms and legs shake around like a fish out of water. And for some reason, with this chair, they seem to have more gusto. So if it happens, not a problem. It's just something that comes with 41 years of quadriplegia. And I am strapped in, so I shouldn't go anywhere. But it's just part of me. So with that said, let's pray, and we will look at our time of worship this morning. Thank you, Father, that we can gather together safely and look at your word. Now, we ask that the meditation of our hearts and minds will be glorious in your sight, our rock and our Redeemer, Lord. Amen. Now, my message today is going to be a little bit different than we normally hear at Cornerstone, and in fact is different than I normally preach as well. But it is what God has put in my heart and works today well with teaching, especially with children or adults as well. So first, a question for you. Who here made a New Year's resolution? No one. Hear that? You don't know how to raise your hands. Well, most New Year's resolutions only last a couple weeks, and that by February, about 80% have been forgotten and completely neglected. So for those of you that didn't even start one, well, that may be a good idea. However, one thing that a lot of people like to resolve in the new year is wanting to read God's Word. And this is something that we need to do at all times, that we don't just start on January 1st, but to go throughout the year. And in fact, we've been told to do this in Scripture, and especially to teach children, that they need to know God's law and God serve Him. So we see this taught in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So in this way, that we're speaking about Scripture at all times. We don't tend to walk along roads very often, but it can be when you're in the car, going to school, or various activities, or wherever. But unfortunately, we see today that Bible knowledge is decreasing in society. Around the country, we have all kinds Christian resources available to us. I mean, even just here in Pella, we have a number of Christian churches, we have Christian schools, we got Christian radio even, and we have access to Christian colleges around the state. However, even with all that, we still have a large population in this town that doesn't attend church, and those that are maybe even acting against the Bible. And we see that this was predicted. In Amos 8, we read that there will be a famine coming, not of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the word of God. So this is what we need to work on today, and to make sure that we always know God's word in everything. So one person that knew the importance of learning God's word was Paul. And in his final letter to Timothy, he wanted to make sure that he taught everything that he knew to his son in the faith. So let's now read 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17. And it should be the same as in your seat Bibles as well, if you wish to follow along. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And out from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now that phrase, God breathed, we don't hear of it very often in Scripture, but one other time that we do hear it is back at the beginning of Genesis. That in Genesis 2 we read that God formed man from the dust of the earth, and that he breathed into his nostrils the very breath of life. So that without God's breath, mankind would not even have life, that we have soul and spirit. Well, in the same way, God's word is helpful for soul and life, that without it, we do not have eternal life and to know how to serve God. As we just read, that it is useful for all parts and to make us know salvation. However, in our evangelistic efforts, we see a lot more problems today, and people that bring up objections to the Bible. So I am briefly going to go over three items. One, the Bible has changed over the centuries, and we don't know what it says. Two, that can't we, it was just written by men that, you know, were mainly sheep herders and that kind of thing, so they didn't know anything. And three, if there is a good scripture, which version is correct even? Because there's so many of them. Well, we'll look at these a little bit and we'll go from there. So, first objection, that it has changed throughout the years. Well, there is a very interesting field of study that I like. It's called textual criticism. That it looks at ancient texts. And the New Testament is not the only thing that was written about 2,000 years ago. So there are some other people that we may have heard of, such as Plato, Aristotle, or Homer's Iliad. And these are texts that people go by today and some of their writings. However, when we look at what they have, the most ancient items or latest texts that we have for them were written anywhere from 500 to 1400 years after the originals. And we have very few items of each that through these three people, we may have about 700 copies. Now, when we look at the New Testament, the most ancient copies that we have are less than 100 years after the originals. So, therefore, the people that read the original writings or heard them could easily correct problems that came up. And in Greek alone, we have over 5,000 manuscripts or partial fragments. And if you look at other languages, there are another 19,000 copies available. So combined, that means we have over 24,000 either complete or partial fragments of the New Testament. Now, if numbers aren't your thing, just remember that we have thousands more copies of the New Testament than we do of anything else. So, therefore, it can be trusted. But one item that we hear is that, well, with all these, there are a lot of differences among them. Well, that is a fact, but also not quite accurate. So, the printing press was not available until 1440. So anything before that had to be copied down by hand. So, Jims, if one of you wrote something and then gave it to your friend and they copied it down, do you think that went all the way down that all of you would have the exact same copy? Probably not. However, if you compared a lot of the different items together, you could probably get pretty accurate of what the original was. So in this way, God preserved his word, and that with so many copies, you can tell the differences and what may have some error or what not. Today, if you have one person that sees an event and reports on it, if they have a certain bias one way or another, they can easily sway what information they tell. And with today's society, they can be given to thousands or even millions of people in a very short amount of time. So that is why today, if you do watch the news, you need to be very careful of where it comes from. But we have this assurance from God that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And even though throughout history we've seen that many people try to get rid of God's word and make it so that only a select few people had it, today it is available for all of us here in the U.S. and continues to be spread throughout the world in all kinds of different languages. And Timothy reminded his son of the faith that it is useful for everything. Such as God said in John 5, if you believe Moses, you believe me, for he wrote about me. Well, Jesus said that Moses wrote about him, and that what he said could be believed. Well, that leads to our next point that we said, that only men wrote the Bible. So, how can we know it's accurate or that they even knew what they were talking about? So, James, again, I saw that you did several projects, correct? But did any of you actually write them? Probably say you did, right? They aren't answering. They must be asleep. Well, I can guarantee that no one here has ever written anything. You say, what? What do you mean by that? Well, everyone here, when we have an idea, we know what we want to record. So we may use a pen or a pencil or a paintbrush or keyboard, touchscreen, or anything of that sort. So the device is the one that's writing it, but we give the knowledge or the idea of what to record. So in this way, we have the same thing with Scripture, that God, who gave us the very breath of life, helped inspired over 40 authors over a 1,500-year period to write down what he wanted. And therefore, we have one seamless book from Genesis to Revelation that speaks about the coming Messiah. And we see this through 2 Peter that says, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So we see from Scripture itself that it says what its source is. Now, some people will say that we cannot use Scripture to verify Scripture, that it is circular reasoning. However, we can use the object we want to verify to say that it's true. So, let's say I wanted to prove that Pastor Ryan lives in his house. Well, we could say that we could sit on the sidewalk, see him going in and out with his vehicle, and observe him walking around in the house. So, by looking at the object, we can prove it. Now, you may also get a visit from Pella's police if you stay there for a long period and staring in the windows. But in this way, you can prove the object. So, this again proves what we see about Scripture, that it is God's Word and can be fully trusted. But the last item then that we'll look at, how do you know which one is correct? Because as we see today, there are a multitude of different scriptures. And if they all go back to the original text, well, which one is the actual correct one? Well, just as anything, language changes over the years. So, from the Geneva Bible or the 1611 King James Version, we've had some changes in the English language. So, if I went up to someone on the street today and said, "How dost thou be?" you might get some strange looks. But I said, "Hey, how you doing?" Well, you might actually get an answer. So, in the same way, the Bible has updated with languages today. However, as time has also passed, we have found more manuscripts. And our knowledge of Greek and languages has increased. So, therefore, we have also had some different changes that some texts are a little bit different than others. And if you look at any modern Bible, such as the NIVs and the Seats, you will, on occasion, see different areas that say this or that text includes a verse or not, and that they are slightly different. However, the main message of the Bible and everything in it does not change. And so this way, we can be sure that what we have is correct in everything. And we need to make sure that we use all of the Bible for teaching God's Word. And we can see that the people in Acts did this in the early Bible, that we read in Acts 17. Now the Berean Jews were more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. We need to do the same with everyone that we hear, be it myself or any other pastor, that we have very obvious examples that if I would say there are 12 commands and 10 disciples, that's not quite right. That you can say, well, look at Exodus 20, and we can count out 10 different commands. And if we look at the New Testament, we can look, oh, there's 12 different disciples. So that's an easier one. However, with modern society, we also hear of other objections. And we can say that, well, yes, Jesus did address things we have today and said that marriage is between one man and one woman, and that we are to honor all life in the womb and at all stages, and that is precious and should not be taken. But just as we said earlier, that all scripture is God-breathed, and Job treasured it more than the very word that he ate, very bread that he ate. But also, we can trust God's word that says that no thief, adulterer, murderer, or liar will inherit the kingdom of heaven. However, those that repent and truly come to God and trust in his grace alone, not by works, that they will be saved. And as we read through Isaiah, the grass withers and flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. So, with this word that endures forever, let's make sure that we spend time in it and that we study it every day and continue to teach it to coming generations. Amen. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for your word. And Lord, we've seen over the years that though many tried to get rid of it, that you, Lord, have made it endure. We ask that you give us wisdom of your word and that it may be used for all times, that we will go out and preach it to those who have not heard and use it for our own selves as well. And in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.